Now, Michael Moore became famous after his first movie, Roger and Me, showed him going up against General Motors. So we thought it only right and just that we turn now to a General Motors executive. Bob Lutz is a legendary car guy who, in his long career, was responsible for many of the big muscle cars and SUVs that defined Detroit. He has a garage full of them himself, plus he owns and flies not one, but two military fighter jets. He joined us, along with panelists Adam Felber, Charlie Pierce, and Kyrie O'Connor, at the Ann Arbor Theater in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where we asked him how it was that he had worked for every American automaker, plus BMW.
Yeah, I'm cycling through them again, actually, really? Because I'm with BMW, with GM for the second time now.
Yeah, you came back to GM after having left at least the senior management position in the auto industry, and that you were running another company, and then they said, we need you back, Bob. Did they have to lure you? Did they have to entice you?
Not real hard, because I really wanted to get back in the business. In fact, I didn't want to retire at 66, and they pushed me out of Chrysler because the mandatory retirement age was 65. Why that? Because Iacocca wouldn't leave, and they said, we're never going to let that happen again. And then GM hired me when I was 70, and at the press conference that where they announced it, one of the journalists said to Rick Wagner, Mr. Wagner, how can this be consistent with GM's 65 and out policy? And Rick, being very fast on his feet, thought for a minute and said, it's true. You must retire from GM at age 65 maximum, but we checked all our policies, and there's none that says we can't hire 70-year-olds.
Now, I understand that among the many cars you've successfully brought to production, you did have a little bit of trouble with the Buick LaCrosse.
Well, let's put it this way. The name was contentious in the French part of Canada.
Right. LaCrosse in French Canada is a slang, a sort of off-color slang term.
Allegedly, although there are, I think we were taken for a ride because we got these protest letters out of Canada saying that it was vernacular for...
a form of self-entertainment, let's say.
Yes. One of the languages I speak is French, having grown up in Switzerland, and I've never heard this expression. I've heard about 17 others in French.
Right. Just like, in fact, last I checked the dictionary, you're credited with coining four of them. So.
I think so. There's numerous towns in Canada by the name of Lacrosse. The sport exists in Canada, and yet there seems to be some subculture in the Montreal area or in Quebec someplace where... And it got the Chrysler, or it got the GM Canada guys all exercised and said, "Oh my God, we can't possibly call it Buick LaCrosse." So, for Canada, it got a perfume name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Allure.
That doesn't sound like a good aggressive American car.
I hate it.
Well, Bob Lutz, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
I'm not going to leave the house. Something might happen.
All right. As established, you're a fighter pilot, car fanatic, world traveler. Great. So we thought we would ask you three questions about people who never like to leave the house at all. Answer two of these questions, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is... Bob Lutz playing for?
Bob is playing for Carol Collins of Ann Arbor.
All right. First question. One of the great eccentrics and homebodies was classical pianist Glenn Gould, a brilliant concert performer who didn't very much like performing. In fact, once he wrote a manifesto demanding what? A, that all audiences be seated facing away from the stage, so the performer would not be distracted by their faces. B, that instead of him having to come to a concert hall, it would be better if just one person would agree to pay $500,000 to listen at the performer's home. Or C, that all audiences be forbidden from applauding or making any noise of any kind.
Those all sound equally compelling.
Yes.
But I can't. There's no all of the above at the bottom.
No, one, only one. Yeah. That I know of.
You must choose one of the big three.
Which may someday become all of the above.
Yeah.
Um, I don't know. I don't have a clue. I'm going to say B.
You're going to say B, the one about instead of him having to come and pay for all these people, that one person would come to his house, pay him $500,000.
Yeah.
Same effect. No, I'm afraid the answer was C. He wanted to forbid audiences from applauding. He wrote a manifesto called GPAADAK, the Gould Plan for the Abolition of Applause and Demonstrations of All Kinds. Apparently, applause or any kind of noise from the audience just made him nuts.
I used to do some shows in New York that Glenn Gould would have loved.
Next question. Thomas Pynchon is a famously reclusive writer. He has not been photographed, filmed, or recorded on tape in decades, with one exception. What was that exception? A, in 1985, he called in to do one period of color commentary at a New York Islanders hockey game. B, on two occasions he played himself on the TV show The Simpsons. Or C, he was photographed wearing elaborate makeup, sunglasses, and a wig at a New York Fashion Week runway show.
I'll pick A on that.
You're going to pick A?
Yeah.
That he called in and just did a period of color commentary on a hockey game.
I'll change it to C.
Is this the kind of decisiveness that you're bringing to GM?
Yeah, I call it I'm willing to listen.
All right. No, that's good. All right. I like that. So your answer is C, the New York Fashion Week runway show. He was photographed there.
That's my pick, yes.
All right. Actually, it was B. He played himself in The Simpsons. Last question. Just this week, a man in Beijing, China, was arrested for doing what in the privacy of his own home? A, operating a coal mine. B, negotiating a peace treaty with Taiwan. Or C, playing the computer game World of Warcraft 22 hours a day.
I'll do C on that one.
You're going to say C. That he was arrested because he was sitting around playing World of Warcraft 22 hours a day.
Yep. I'll stick with it.
You're going to stick with C?
And do none for three.
All right. Actually, he was operating a coal mine. The man had bought the house because it was right next to an operating coal mine, and then he dug down in a little over and got to work. So, Carl, how did Bob Lutz do in our quiz?
Well, he achieved what he wanted at the end, Peter. No correct answers. Mm-hmm. So no prize for Carol Collins.
My apologies.
Let me ask you one last question before I let you go, because, a lot of people are car nuts, and a lot of people fantasize about their perfect car. And you actually have maybe a chance to do that. What would your perfect car be? Or does it already exist?
It existed in concept form at the Detroit Auto Show, and it's called the Chevrolet Volt.
Volt.
Volt. Yeah, and I think we're actually going to put it into production. I had a review of it. We're working with lithium-ion battery companies. The goal is to have 40-mile range on battery power alone, and then have an internal combustion engine kick in like an emergency generator in case you run out of juice. So for the average trip per day, if you do 60 miles a day, you'll be on battery for 40 and boosted by the gasoline engine for 20. Your average fuel economy would be 151 miles per gallon. And this is now what I'm more excited about than I was about the Dodge Viper or anything we've ever done. I think this can bring about the revolution and really make us independent of foreign oil and solve all the other problems.
And not only that, there'll be more gas left over for your fighter jets. Because what kind of mileage do they get is what I'm wondering.
I'm not saying.
We hope you enjoyed our look back at some of our favorite Not My Job segments from the year. And be sure to stay tuned in 2008 to see who we can convince to come on and play our games then. Are you listening, Hillary? Rudy? Brittany? Mahmoud? Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. And Grey Goose, maker of Grey Goose Vodka, distilled from French wheat and natural spring water. The Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, supporting educational, cultural, and environmental initiatives to make our world more livable. On the web at grdodge.org. And REI, providing outdoor adventure gear and apparel and caring for outdoor spaces since 1938, in stores and at rei.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions' Doug Berman, executive producer. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. I am Peter Sagal. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. This is NPR, National Public Radio.